Welcome to episode 1055. It's Monday, August 24th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show lined up for you. The humidity in Hawaii has dropped just a little, but we'll talk about how we've been a absolute sweatbox here over the past week. But hey, got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran. I'm your host. Got a lot of great stuff to go over with you folks today. I want to give a very, very warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners and family members of this show. Thanks for being here. Got a great lineup of stuff to talk about today, and it's been kind of weird, I guess, for a better word around here, and I don't know really how to describe it, except that something isn't quite right with the weather. It has been insanely humid here in Honolulu. I think over the weekend, it was running like 90, 99%. You could just like breathe and sweat. it was bad. And we got a little bit of a little break today. It came down to about 80. The storm that was supposed to come has kind of made like a left turn. So I don't know if the trade winds are going to be back or wind, but we've had crazy amount of rain, lightning, thunder. And for those of you who have been listening to this show for many years, you know that here in Hawaii, we do not get thunder and lightning very often. I mean, it's very, very rare. I guess I slept through a boomer last night. Everyone was talking about it today, but I was down for the count. So I guess it was good. But you guys don't want to hear about the weather. I want to give, again, a warm welcome to everyone. And, of course, to all the new listeners, I want to thank you for checking the show out for the very first time. If this is your first time or if you have been away for a while, I want to welcome you back. And we want to make sure that you stay for a while. So we want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And once you're on the website, really all you have to do once you're over there is get subscribed. You can see via iTunes or via Android, via email. If you want to do it old school, there's an RSS feed there. For those of you who have a podcatcher, if you don't know what the heck I'm even talking about, just click on the more subscription options, and that's going to take you into a page. It's going to kind of lay it out on how you can subscribe to this show. We want you to do so. At the same time, there's a newsletter link on the website at geeknewscentral.com that allows you to basically get connected, and you'll get an email immediately following the show that has everything that I'm going to talk about today with all the links. So that's something you won't want to miss. So if you hear me say something while you're listening to the show, you can come back to your computer later and grab it and take a peek and read the article for yourself and form your own opinion. Lots of great content on the website, of course. We've got our great writers putting stuff together. There's a new article about Cortana arriving on the Android platform. We talked about some digital enhancements that they're going to do with the Star Wars, specifically because there's a actor that is no longer with us, so he's going to be digitally revived, which should be interesting to see. And we even got some Major League Baseball stuff on the website, talking about a guy that was wearing an Apple Watch. A big, big no-no, but especially with partnerships and so forth. and then talked about some of the stuff that was going on with Spotify last week, and of course the last show, number 1054, No Web Privacy. But got all our other shows on the network as well. We've got Jamie Davis with the Health Tech Weekly. We got Mr. Don Bain with the Gadget Professor. We've got Todd Ani with the Elder Divide. We've got myself and myself and Rob Greenlee doing the New Media Show. Of course, we got the Pro Gear site that we stick stuff to or post stuff to from time to time. So lots of stuff to take a peek at when you're on the website. We're going to be adding a couple of shows. Yes, probably two. I'm going to have one probably done this week, and then we'll roll the next one next week. Depends how fast the new host is. So kind of bringing the family together and building out the network. So pretty exciting stuff here. And it is an exciting time in the podcasting space right now. And I don't want to bore you with a lot of the details, but just busy, busy, busy. Lots of stuff happening, lots of movement, and it's really pretty fantastic. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, definitely follow me on Twitter at Geek News. We want you to also email myself directly at geeknews@gmail.com if you have any comments on today's show. Comments are good. Being quiet is bad. So we want to hear from all of you. We have about a handful to a dozen of you that mail on a regular basis, but I know every one of you has an opinion on something. Plus, minus, in between, who knows? I care. I want to know. So we want to hear from you, geeknews@gmail.com. Let's all of you make it an effort. I guess that's E is for effort, right? A for effort. to email and have a comment about the show. Anything, you know, criticism, what you love, what you hate, you know. An article suggestion, you know, let's get engaged. I want to hear from you. I really, really do. So again, geeknews@gmail.com is a place to do that. I read all comments on the air unless you specifically ask me to do not read the article on the air. And I get a few of those from time to time. You can be as controversial. You can be as outlandish as you want to be, long as it's child safe. All right. So that's kind of how the ground rules work here. But definitely send me an email. Hey, you can follow me on Google Plus, on Facebook. And of course, you can follow and watch this show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Google TV, Kickback with Chromecast, whatever it may be. You can find this thing everywhere, even on YouTube, youtube.com/geeknews. You can subscribe and watch the show if you so desire. Now, what I do is I live stream the show here from the studio. It goes right up in YouTube and saved at the same time. So it's not as high quality as what you're going to find in the RSS feed when you subscribe to the show. But, you know, you want to listen most of the time anyway. You don't need to watch me sitting here at the desk and behind the microphone. I was going to say the golden microphone, but I don't have a golden microphone. That's what the big kahunas get is the golden microphone. Hey, of course, tonight I want to, as always, I want to thank our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. You can find all my great deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And there is a deal for every person under the sun. My August GoDaddy specials are incredible. Continue to save you a lot of cash. That 30% off on new product purchases. The 99cent.com. Then we got the dollar deals. $1 per month for 12 months, plus a free domain where you get a website builder. And that one actually includes an Outlook email address too, Microsoft Outlook email address, email. And then it's got the $1 a month economy hosting. Then we got the $1 a month managed WordPress hosting. Again, all those hosting deals come with a free domain. And if you're going to go look for a server or VDS or whatever it may be, you can use that 30% off code and save a lot of money. So we want you to save a lot of money, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All the codes are there. And as a reminder, they all start with CJC, GNC 30, CJC, GNC 99, CJC, GNC, GOT, CJC, GNC 1, HS, and CJC, GNC, WP 1. Come over, click on the links, or cut and paste the codes into the checkout. I prefer if you click on the links, that helps track it much better. So share with friends. share with coworkers, your mother, your brother, your sister, your kids. Buy them a domain name. Get them set up on their own websites. Get them blogging. Get them podcasting. This is what we're all about here, is enabling all of you to do what I do and have fun doing it in whichever way you so desire. And GoDaddy has the tools. Every single tool you need as a business owner, as a beginning blogger, anything. Putting up a website, putting up a shopping cart, selling your own stuff. All takes just a little bit of forethought. And buying a domain, you don't have to focus on a .com. You get any one of these new top-level domains, .show. You know, I told you, scored tech.show, geek.show. Go ahead and type those right into your browser right now. See where it takes you. I'll tell you before you get there. It's going to bring you right over to geekcentral.com. But it's kind of deals. It's kind of things you can do when you're playing around on the online space, and especially when you're getting great products and services at GoDaddy.com. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy is all the promo codes. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Love him, love him, love him. I hope you guys do too. Keeps the lights on in this studio and keeps my family fed. So we thank you for your ongoing support. This weekend, we all saw the news about three incredible Americans, including a Brit. So we got to give credit where credit's due. Four men thwarted what could have been absolutely catastrophic. So I had posted up my Facebook page. I'm absolutely proud of these three guys that took matters in their own hands, these three Americans and this Brit, and essentially tackled, pummeled, and got this guy under control while being stabbed, cut, almost losing a thumb, could have got shot. You know, it takes people with action. All you got to do is move. You know, when something's going down, you just have to move. Fear kind of goes away when you move, as someone said in one of the interviews. So I just absolutely want to congratulate those men for doing what they did. And I want to applaud the French government for stepping right up and, give them the highest award in France. So I hope that the president takes care of the military guys and the group as well when they come back. They deserve it. Anytime someone is on a train with an AK-47 and 9 clips of ammo, a handgun and knives, it is not going to end well unless someone stands up and stops it. They got lucky. You know, this guy's weapon had not jammed. It may have been a whole different situation, but it's ended with this guy in jail. But we just have to be aware of our surroundings, folks. That you never know when you may be the person that has to stop something from going down. But big kudos to those three Americans and Brit for doing what they did. And of course, thoughts go out for those that were hurt. And hopefully everyone has a speedy recovery. Saturday, we were supposed to have a new media show. But I had, because of my trip to New York, some things came up. And it's just one of those life events. I just could not do the show on Saturday. It was one of those. I told Rob Friday, I said, if I could get out of it, I would. I can't. And so we had no show. And sometimes this stuff just happens. And life will throw you a curveball. Everything's cool. There's no worries. It just worked out that way. So no, there was no show on Saturday. But I was busy all day, and I think I sweated out. Well, I know that where I was at, I had a 20-ounce jug of water that I filled 3 times. And when I got back to the house about 5 in the evening from being out all day doing what I was doing, I just went into the garage. I told my son, go get me a towel. A bath towel, and I just proceeded to strip in the garage and threw my clothes immediately into the washing machine, and then I proceeded to march from the garage to the shower. It was bad. And so anyway, that was Saturday. took it easy Saturday night. Sunday, daytime, had some things to do. Again, kind of took it kind of easy. There was a party that we had to go to. My wife's, one of her girlfriends, was turning the big 5-0. So we had a big surprise birthday party for her with skits and everything. And if you follow me on Facebook, you'll probably see some of the goofy stuff we were wearing and taking pictures and having fun and entertaining. So it made for a late evening last night and a very, very, very short morning, because today in Honolulu, in Hawaii, the colleges were back in session. And what that really what that really entails is bad traffic. And I'm hearing a little audio. What's going on here? Maybe it's just my audio cable. Yeah, maybe. Time to replace that thing again. So we rolled out of here. It's my son's first day at college. My daughter, of course, is a sophomore, second year going to college. My son has already been in school. So we roll out of here this morning at 5:30, and it was the traffic from hell. Oh, my goodness. Because we've got rain, bad weather. People are, it was not good. So very short night and very long day. I had a very, very busy day. Anyway, son came back this evening, tell us about his first day at school. So we're, you know, two in. And any of you that have ever have two kids in college at one time, I really need you to support me with the GoDaddy stuff. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. So, anyway, that's what's happening here. But that's what I kind of want to cover today. I want to get into the tech here. I know you're all waiting for that and a lot to go through. But thanks, everyone, for your ongoing support. And if you have commentary, geeknews@gmail.com. We did get a couple of individual folks that made contributions as insiders, one-time contributions. I want to thank Todd and the other folks that made one-time contributions. Are always appreciated very much. Thank you very much. So we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But anyway, let me go ahead and bring up the stack. And but it is still, I mean, it is, I actually ran all my AC units. I turned all the AC units on to make sure they would work, because I haven't had them on in a while. They all ran. I actually sat in here Saturday afternoon. I cheated. I closed all the windows and I ran the wall unit for about 20 minutes. My wife came in and she said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm testing the AC." And she looks at me kind of funny. She goes, "Oh, I see what you're doing." And she shut the door and sat down in here with me for about 30 minutes. We both enjoyed you know, it's better than sitting in a car and running the AC, but we never have to run the AC in this house. In the entire time since we've been here, we haven't. But wow, it's been nuts. And I guess global warming or whatever it is. But today was a big shocker for most of you that were, you know, if you looked at your 401ks today, they probably went to 300.5s. But, you know, this whole stock market thing, I think we all pretty much could see it coming because of China devaluing the yuan and everything else that's been going on. And when the stock market gets in this roller coaster and deep dives, it just goes. And there's really not a lot you can do but hang on and pray. So, you know, if you're thinking about buying some stock, this might be a good time, maybe, if it's done dumping. A lot of tech stocks took some hits. There might be some room for there for you to get in, you know. And there was a lot of Bs, billions in dollars of valuation that was burned off here the last couple of days of trading. You know, and I don't follow the stock market on a day-to-day basis, but you know the stock market's in trouble when Tim Cook has to email Jim Cramer. Of course, Jim Cramer is a guy that's on CNBC. And he sent this email, which surprised me that they were watching the stock, obviously. But he says, "Jim, as you know, we don't give mid-quarter updates, and we rarely comment on moves in Apple stock. But I know your question is on the minds of many investors." He goes on to say, "I get updates on performance in China every day, including this morning. And I can tell you that we have continued to experience strong growth for our business in China through July and August. Growth in iPhone activations has increased, actually accelerated over the past weeks, and we've had the best performance of the year for the App Store in China during the last 2 weeks. Obviously, I can't predict the future because this is the SEC thing coming in where you can't, you have to be very, very careful here. But our performance so far this quarter is reassuring. Additionally, I continue to believe that China represents an unprecedented opportunity over the long term as LTE penetration is very low. And most importantly, the growth of the middle class over the next several years will be huge, Tim. So again, Tim sent this to Jim Cramer trying to, you know, get this on the air. Calm down, people. That's what it was going on. You know, and if you look at Alibaba, they were down 3.5%. Google's down 4%. Facebook's down 4.6%. Intel's down 1%. Microsoft down 3.2%, IBM down 3.6%, Netflix down 7%, Apple down 2.5%. So, you know, the shares were all over the place. And the NASDAQ was up and down and all over, you know, just crazy. But the NASDAQ index ended with 179 points down, a 3.8% decline, about the same as the Dow, and slightly less bad than the S&P 500. It went down almost 4%. But I always think, you know, looking at the economy the way it is, I think we all can agree it's not super strong. It's, you know, kind of just like barely moving forward and climbing a little bit. But when Tim Cook emails the Mad Money guy and tries to... save some of Apple's nearly $8 billion in market value in this induced slide. I don't know where we're going to end here. And just be careful out there and don't dump your stuff at this point. I think it'll come back. But China is the, you know, we've talked about China on this show, and this is not an economics show, and I don't pretend to be an economics major, but they have to have huge growth every year in order to keep their economy afloat. And 7-8% for them is horrible. 7-8% for us, we'd all be like dancing in the streets. But 7-8% for them is really bad. And they need much higher growth. And if they aren't able to sustain that, which I think there's real risk, you know, we could see some more dumping. So it may be time to do some deals. Maybe it's time you watch here over the next 3-4 days. And if it takes a dive and you got your eye on something, maybe it's time to make that move. Pick up a few shares of some stock that maybe you've been thinking about. If you've got a little bit of money that you're thinking about maybe to invest. And again, my philosophy, and again, I don't want to be an investment advisor. That's not what this show's about. It's a tech show. But when I buy stock, I know that it's just like going up to the craps table. And the money I put down, I'm almost guaranteeing I'm going to throw a 7. You know, I try not to throw a 7, but I plan on the money I invest in pure stocks, not mutual funds and that kind of stuff, because that stuff's more safe. That when I buy a stock, I know I'm rolling the dice. Some people are better at it than others, and I don't claim to be an expert. But it is a good way to, when the stock markets took this hit like this, to maybe pick up a few shares of the, you know, stock that you're in love with. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some good IPOs in the future, and there's going to be some stocks that are going to be good for some tech companies that while most of us won't be able to buy initially, we should all be keeping an eye on as time moves forward. So maybe we'll start doing that. And if you've got a tip, if you have a stock tip, or suggestion, and again, we will disclaim everything up front that we absolutely have no idea what we're talking about, but if you have an idea of a good one that's not a penny stock and you have a reason why, email us. We'll share it with the audience. Let's all try to move forward together. And it doesn't have to be tech, but, you know, this is a tech show, so if it's some oil stock or something, I don't know if we'll give it much talk, but we can't talk about the companies and give each other impressions of what we think where they're going to go. It's post-IPO or prior to an IPO. I think it's all smart for those of us that are getting killed with our 301ks and with these big market hits that we all start looking out for one another and put our middle finger up to the man at Goldman Sachs and all these other groups that seem to get richer, while the common guys are we're kind of here begging around for scraps. So anyway, love to hear your guys' thoughts. Geeknews@gmail.com. You know, they're still fighting over files on Mega Upload. Can you believe this? How long has this been now? We know that millions of users lost access to the personal files when Mega Upload was raided. And again, after nearly 4 years, their files are still stashed away in a Virginia warehouse. The company that owns the servers wants to get rid of them. It costs about $6,000 a month to store them. That's got to be a lot of servers. But there's one guy who says, I want my files back. And he's back in court asking for them, for those files, and trying to force the judge to make a ruling. We'll see where this leads. But I think this guy's just trying to make a point. Whether or not he ever gets his files back, I don't know. But again, these people are still fighting for their property. Talking about... Well, let me save this. Let me talk about these couple of science articles first, then I'm going to get into a topic that we need to dig into a little bit. On the science side, Japanese cargo ship delivered mice, booze, yes, booze, and more to the space station. The Suntory group, those of you that are familiar with Suntory will know that they're a very large company that has a lot of liquor holdings, some in the United States as well. Well, anyway, they sent up with the Japanese cargo ship some whiskey to be on the station for a couple of years. I guess it's a variety pack. The cash includes whiskey, tequila, and Midori, which are being sent to see how microgravity affects the mellowness of their taste after 1 or 2 years in space. And this experiment was developed by the Tokyo-based Suntory Global Innovation Center. So they're, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm on the International Space Station. They better hide the booze. Or they had better send up just a little bit of a nip for me to sample that I could have had on the side. You're going to send up tequila, you're going to send up some whiskeys, and you're going to send up Midori. Of course, the Midori, I'm not a big Midori fan, but the whiskey and tequila, I can do either one of those. So, yeah. But kind of interesting. And made me smile today when I saw that. A lot of other stuff too, of course, like 4,500 pounds of gear. Plasma rockets. It sounds like something that you would read out of a sci-fi book. But a potential advancement in United States electric propulsion capability for the future spaceflight is being underscored by a new NASA contract to support work on VASMIR. It's a short for the Variable Space Impulse Magnetoplasma Rocket. Yes, this is the real deal. And they're going to be testing long burns of this particular rocket, plasma rocket. And they're going to burn for a minimum of 100 hours, continuously at a power level of 100 kilowatts. So they're going to be doing this in a large state-of-the-art vacuum chamber and at Astra's Texas facility. So Webster, Texas. Where's Webster? But these experiments are going to demonstrate the engine's new proprietary core design and thermal control subsystem, and to better estimate component lifetime. So it's going to be some long burn tests to see, okay, this thing going to work really over a long period of time. So very, very fun, cool stuff. Of course, the plasma rockets are capable of much more thrust than their chemical counterparts. So it'll be exciting to see where this goes. You know, one thing that we have in the United States is some national treasures. And the national treasures are our national labs, Los Alamos, Sandia National Labs, a variety of different laboratories across the country are our national treasure. These laboratories are filled with big heads, people that are very high in the IQ, They are super duper smart. Some of them are pure rocket scientists. I mean, it is really the elite of the elite. It's a double E like Wonderland. Everyone there has at least a double E, especially depending if they work on electronics. But in the bio side, and I didn't realize this, there's a great article today on phys.org. Biological tool creates nerve-like polymer network. Using a succession of biological mechanisms, San Diego National Laboratory's researchers have created linkages of polymer nanotubes that resemble the structure of a nerve with many out-thrust filaments poised to gather or send electrical impulses. Now, what's exciting about this is that they feel at some point, and I just had this huge monster Radio Shack pop-up ad on the screen. That was not nice. But it has, they think they're going to have the ability to, like people that have been had legs amputated or arms, and they're got an artificial limb, and they're going to try to hook nerves up, that they're going to be able to do this without like hard mounts to nerves that don't work so well or can be painful. So they really are at the point where they feel they're going to be able to, you know, have wire up some nerve endings, which is kind of cool. So their goal, one goal, is to make an artificial, highly branched neural structure, said the scientist named Bachchan. He says the next step is, can we wire them together? The answer is the motors should do it naturally, and two such networks joined together would have self-healing built into them. The motors never stop running until they run out of fuel. A neural branch leak breaks, and then a motor can act on that area to produce a new branch. So it's all about, you know, coming up with cool ways. Lots of cool treatments could come out of this. These folks have got big brains. God bless them. Let's talk just a little bit. Just going to switch topics completely here. And we're going to talk, you guys remember us talking about Stingray before? Made the news several times over the years. You know, over the last few years, we've talked about this, about growing law enforcement reliance on Stingray cell simulator devices, also known as IMS eye catchers, that mimic a real cell phone tower and help provide the location of a certain mobile phone. This is according to an article on TechDirt. They say these devices have been super popular with local law enforcement, who often receive them from the federal government with strict non-disclosure agreements, which means law enforcement has been known to lie to courts, drop cases where the usage is at risk coming in and out of court. Well, it appears that a story over on USA Today has a fairly deep dive into the fact that the law enforcement agencies are using these devices to solve petty crimes all the time without a warrant, and then refusing to tell the defendants how they were caught, which is a constitutional no-no. Heath specifically was able to get a police surveillance log in Baltimore, which detailed how the devices were being used. The records show that the city police used Stingrays to catch everyone from killers to petty thieves, that the authorities regularly hid or obscured that surveillance once suspects got to court, and that many of those arrested were never prosecuted. Defense attorneys assigned to many of those cases said they did not know a Stingray had been used until the USA Today contacted them, even though state law requires that they be told about electronic surveillance. One of the lawyers said, "I'm astounded at the extent to which police have been so aggressively using this technology. How long have they been using it, and the extent to which they have gone to create ruses to shield that use?" Stephen Mercer, the chief of forensics for Maryland Public Defender, said. Some of the cases are absolutely ridiculous, such as the one where an angry husband grabbed his wife's phone, left the house, police declared it a theft, and used an IMS eye catcher to track it down. Another thing was used, that they've been using it to find witnesses, tracking witnesses without telling them that they are doing. And again, these aren't even people accused of a crime. These are just the police department using it to find the location of a witness. So, I tell you, privacy. doesn't appear to be alive anywhere anymore. And police departments are being able to do what they want to do with these. So again, an article over on Tech Dirt. I'll have the link up for you in the show notes. There's a fantastic article on the New York Times. In matter of fact, I started reading it and I got about a quarter of the way through. It's a monster article. I mean, absolute monster from, I don't know how many words are in this thing, but it's huge. And I think it's great because it talks about the creative apocalypse that wasn't. And it talks about music artists and people that are writers and photographers and videographers and how they were declaring doom and gloom back in the Napster days and so forth. So, you know, back in July 2011, Senate Judiciary Committee Senator Orrin Hatch handed the microphone to Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich to hear his thoughts on art in the digital age. And he went on to say how, you know, the sky was falling. But the New York Times has done a deep dive on really what has happened to artists and earnings and the effect of the digital economy and what is happening with sharing and everything else that goes on online. And it goes deep, talks about the voices of the artists. It talks about what's going on with Spotify and variety of groups like that, and talks what's happening in Hollywood and the new ways of production, and talks about how movies now are being produced and rolled into HBO and Netflix instead of going to the big movie theaters and big screens. And so just talks about the digital economy and the true effect. And I tried to do the Reader's Digest version. It's too deep of a dive. You got to read the whole thing. So I think if any of you that are out there that are creative types, you need to do creative stuff to make your living, you're painting, you're doing shooting videos, you're whatever it may be that you do that's creative. And we can all say we're have certain creativity at our jobs. But those of you that are the truly, a.k.a. the artists out there, I'd love to hear you guys, after you've read this, hear from you guys, to tell me whether or not they hit it spot on or if they were off track. We all know that there will be the haves and have-nots. It just seems like some people will throw some paint on a wall and they get paid $1 million, and the next guy takes, 3 years to draw out a beautiful painting and they say it's junk. We kind of know how that process works. But I think we should look at this a little deeper and see where we're at, because we all get stuff for free, right? We get Netflix. Well, we don't get it for free. But if you think about what you pay for now, so let's say you're using the iHeartRadio app and you're listening to a rock station out of Philly for free, whereas before you wouldn't have been able to got the rock station. Maybe they didn't have a rock station in your location that you like. Or let's say you're listening to a playlist that's on Spotify or a different group, different music streaming service. Let's say you get a free account and you just have to listen to an ad once in a while and you don't get you don't pay the $9.95 or whatever it is a month. Just think what you get for free today. Those of you that are of age to remember what we were paying for albums, what we were paying for CDs back before, paying for books. And I'm buying ebooks now for $3-4. Matter of fact, they've got that thing with Amazon now where I can check books out and check them in, and I just pay a flat fee, which I take full advantage of. So before it'd be like a $37.95 hardback. That's what it would cost to go into the Barnes and Nobles and pick up that book that you're waiting for that author to release. Now it's all digital. You grab. Matter of fact, they tell you when it's ready. You don't even have to be, they send you an email and say, hey, this new book's out. So I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. Go ahead and take a peek. Have a link up in the show notes. All right, over at deals.kinja.com, the 3-in-1 gadget is essential travel gear. So if you ever went into a hotel and they want to charge you $9.95 per device, you say, well, I'll pay for one. Well, there's a device called the Hutu. It allows you to basically connect to a hotel's Wi-Fi, and then basically it allows you to connect your devices to it. It's also got the ability to have, it's got a 6,000 milliamp battery pack. It has a file hub. You can transfer files and wirelessly stream content from an SD card or hard drive or flash drive to all your devices. So if you're on a trip with kids and each person's got a device and you want to keep everyone happy, this may be the way to do it. And if you can also plug the thing into the wall in the hotel if you need to, or use it as a repeater. Available for $26. This is a great deal. You can't beat it. I'll have the link up in the show notes for all of you to check it out. And this is a kind of cool travel gadgets that you need. All right, was your iPhone on the list? Well, you might be one of the unlucky many who've been issued a faulty iPhone. A small component in some iPhone 6 Plus phones sold between September 2014 and January 2015 is causing the EyeSight camera to fail. If your phone falls in a certain serial number, you're due for a new one. Check with Apple if you qualify, and mine does. But I haven't had any problems with the camera yet, so I can't send anything in unless the camera starts acting up. They say it's because the focus issue. I did notice I have focus issues once in a while, but just attributed to, you know, me moving the camera around too much. But I can get good focus pictures yet. But if it turns out they're not, 3 years is going to be the date that you'll be able to get this your phone fixed with this faulty camera issue. Now, your phone has to work. You can't have a busted screen, so you can't just turn it in and get the full repair. You're going to have to send them a working phone, okay? Everything but the house, and this is brilliant. EBTH.com is an online estate sales marketplace that's pulled in $30 million in new funding, and they basically do estate sales online. Smart. Bidding starts at a dollar for everything, and they do about 150 sales per month in 14 different cities. They will even ship stuff directly to you. If you like that Rolex watch, it's part of an estate sale, and you buy it, they'll ship it. You don't have to go get it. You're going to have to bust out the credit card, though. But vans, rings, furniture, you name it. This is smart. I love estate sales. I never get to go to them because they never have them here. I don't know what it is about Hawaii. Estate sales are rare. If you're back in the mainland, they're all the time. But I guess the kids just take everything. You never see stuff being sold as an auction. So anyway, cool. You know, there's an article I don't want to dig too deep into, but it talks about Google Now and some of the challenges they're having over there and some competition that Microsoft is giving them by releasing an update to the Bing search app in Android. So this Bing search app in Android now allows other apps to tap into information architecture. So see something in one mobile app, a nice location shot in Instagram, say, and with a tap, you can summon the information about that something via Bing. So very, very, very cool stuff. Now, Google teased their integration at Google Now, but it still looks like it got a ways to go. But I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. I love inventors. Inventors, the world has survived and advanced because of inventors. And over on Vimeo, there's a guy by the name of David Friedman that's interviewing really interesting people. And you can find his videos at likelymedia.com/video. But the one I watched today was an interview with Alan Adler. He's the guy that's the AeroPress and Aerobee. Do you know what the Aerobee is? It's basically, it looks like it's a Frisbee flying disc, but it flies flat. And for those of you that are coffee connoisseurs, you're going to know what the AeroPress coffee maker is. This guy, pretty cool interview. Talks about some of his stuff, but this guy does really cool stuff. likelymedia.com/video. Well, the Tesla Model X is a little bit of a mystery. We don't know the launch date or any of those types of things, but word is going around that Elon Musk himself is going to, of course, popped an ad up, is going to make an appearance on Stephen Colbert's Late Show in a fortnight's time, couple weeks. And so they're saying that Mr. Musk may shed more light on Model X, or perhaps might even launch the Model X right there on the Late Show. So, kind of cool. It's going to be fun to watch him make this transition from what he used to do to the new show. He's going to be has a lot of shoes, big shoes to fill over there for sure. All right, are you an IT guy? Have you heard about these new Dell custom computers? Dell's launched a new business line of custom servers to companies with needs and those that don't quite want the server volume of hyperscale data centers. So it's called the Data Center Scalable Solution, DSS. Unit will specifically target companies in web tech, telecoms, hosting, oil and gas, and research spaces that need a specific kind of server and will custom make them for you. So very, very cool by Dell. There's also a cool article. This is really switching gears. I'm jumping all over the place today, and I apologize because I didn't rearrange the stack. I just found stuff and threw it up, as you can tell. But Ray Bradbury, you guys know who Ray Bradbury is, right? Science fiction writer Ray Bradbury. Well, there's an article over on muckrock.com that basically they did a Freedom of Information Act, and the FBI had a huge file on this guy. The file released to former Muckrock Inco Kong document the decade that the FBI spent trying to determine if Bradbury was a card-carrying communist or at least a sympathetic fellow traveler. Bradbury's membership in the Screenwriters Guild, as well as vocal opposition to McCarthyism, drew particular attention. FBI informant Martin Berkeley, notoriously for his role as the House Un-American Activities Committee number one friendly witness, drew a portrait of Bradbury as a pinko boogeyman. And you read this stuff. This isn't a late 50s, 1959, where the FBI is actually saying, you know, this guy might be a threat to our country. Wow. It's really pretty eye-opening. If you read through the stuff that they received via the Freedom of Information Act, it's huge. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you. It's kind of eye-opening. I haven't done a lot of reading on those years and looked at some of the documentation, but it is pretty amazing. Hey, Amazon, if you're into data scale, if you do a lot of database stuff, Amazon released this new database system called Aurora. It's a key building block of basically for high demand, high process, low fault tolerance type of data processing. And it's really about a tenth of the cost of what you would pay for something like Oracle or Rackspace. It's relatively inexpensive, but it does a high-end SAN type work. So if you haven't looked at, if you need high database utilization, you may want to take a look at Aurora. We've been playing with it at Raw Voice, doing a couple of things. It's an exciting, exciting way to scale a database and get more horsepower out of something that maybe is running on a MySQL server before. But this is very, very cool. And I'll have the link up in the show notes for those of you that haven't dug in too much on Aurora that are super geeky, okay? Shout out H2O here. Nothing like wetting the whistle during the show. Comcast planning on gigabit cable for entire country in 2 to 3 years. So they basically are saying that if you're a Comcast customer, that within 2 to 3 years, they're going to have at least 1 gig down to you. So right now, customers are outside the footprint of their fiber rollout will still be able to buy gigabit internet service after Comcast upgrades to DOCSIS 3.1. It's a faster version of data over cable service interface specification. Comcast said in April that DOCSIS 3.1 will be available to some of its customers in early 2016 and eventually across the whole Comcast U.S. footprint by as late as 2018. So that's huge, and they're going to be upgrading very, very quickly. So we know that Comcast, the nation's largest internet provider with 22.5 million subscribers, operates in 39 states. So you're going to get a faster piece of junk. That's what you're going to get. So we all love our city officials, right? All of us live in little, you know, in towns where they have council meetings and, you know, and sometimes they're talking about the, you know, the water sewage plant and just, you know, it's, you know, city council business stuff can usually be pretty boring. But recently, a judge in California ruled that the city of Inglewood could not hold copyright or cannot hold copyrights of videos of public city council meetings, which they published on their YouTube account and then demanded takedown when someone else repurposed, recut up the council meeting to make a point. So they actually filed DMCA takedown notices against a public meeting that had been recorded by the city. You know, there's Open Records Acts in most parts of the country. So the judge, and they actually, the city actually sued the gal or the individual that was putting these videos up. But a smart judge dismissed the city's case, citing California law, which bars the city from holding copyrights on most public records. And, he dismissed this case with prejudice, telling the city, bad city, bad kitty, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So they can't go back after this individual again. Now, the individual that was doing the actual recutting of the meetings basically said that that person had used the fair use doctrine. And the judge also agreed that the fair doctrine applied, all four criteria were met. So pretty exciting stuff. A city basically smacked down for doing something they shouldn't have done in the first place. Imagine you look at your bill, and all of a sudden you say, what's that extra $25 on there for? And you realize it's for a phone that you disconnected like 10 years ago. And you're feeling stupid about, how did I miss this for 10 years? And even more mad that you've been charged it for 10 years. Well, Verizon reportedly issuing a $1,500 refund to a customer who recently discovered that she'd been paying every month for a long-canceled landline since around 2000 when she canceled it. So they originally weren't going to give her all her money back, but finally enough press and interest were taken up on this that she's getting her full cash back. Verizon's making good, but not without a little bit of squawking publicly about it. But, you know, look at your bills. Make sure you're paying for what you're actually using. I think that probably would be a smart thing. I interviewed a company in at CES that had hydrogen power cells. And I'm just blown away. Intelligent Energy is back in the news. According to reports, Intelligent Energy created a working iPhone 6 prototype that looks no different from any iPhone 6 except for tiny vents in the rear that allow an imperceptible amount of water vapor to escape. The prototype contains both a rechargeable battery and its own hydrogen fuel cell, which, get this, can run the phone for a whole week without a recharge. Very, very cool. Intelligent Energy was really doing some awesome stuff. They blew me away. You can find it at one of their interviews here on Geek News Central. Just search for Intelligent Energy, and if you'll rewatch that video, if you never saw it before, you need to. All right, this next article is going to make you go, huh? A little bit. And here's the title of the article, and this is what got my attention. Reflective satellites may be the future of high-end encryption. Quantum key distribution is regularly touted as the encryption of the future. So essentially what they're going to do, because in order to have a key exchange, and I think if I'm saying it wrong or describing it wrong, forgive me, but a group of Italian researchers demonstrated the possibility of a quantum key distribution via satellite which in principle but not in practice means that any two parties with a view of the same satellite can exchange keys. Quantum key distribution has really one downside. The two parties need to have a direct link to each other to exchange encryption keys. So, for instance, banks in and around Geneva use dedicated fiber links to form QKD, but they can only do this because the distance is less than 100 kilometers. These fixed and short links are expensive, so an expensive solution. A more flexible solution would be to be able to bounce a signal off a satellite and be able to make that connection that way. So again, this is some deep, really heavy stuff where you need super heavy duty encryption. It's usually going to be banks and stock exchanges, that type of stuff. They're going to need that, or people that are trying to keep information away from the prying eyes of their respective government. So this is kind of a cool story. And use that line of sight methodology, look up the space, lock on to the satellite, get the signal connected, and you're good. So very, very cool stuff. Today was the 20-year anniversary of the launch of Windows 95. And, you know, the Rolling Stones played, and the song that they sung was Start Me Up. Start Me Up featured in most TV commercials at the time. Flash forward 20 years, Microsoft is giving the song away today as it, for the basically a commemorative of the launch of Windows 95 20 years ago. So you can download it until 11:59 p.m. tonight, Pacific time. So let's see here. It's right now. Oh, well, if you're watching the show, you got 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes to go over and get the song. It's 11:56 Pacific right now, so hurry. And if you missed it, I'm sorry. Oh, boy. Why did I do that to you? Microsoft is turning the iPhone camera into a 3D scammer. Microsoft wants a camera in the back of your phone to do more than take 2D pictures. A new project from Microsoft Research Lab is turning the average smartphone rear camera into a 3D scanner, one that can automatically create 3D models that are supposed to be good enough for printing. And they did a demo video and they showed a capture. So pretty interesting stuff. It's getting pretty cool. Twitter has basically blocked the API access to more sites archiving deleted politician tweets. So if you're a politician, you tweet something and you delete it, that's always good fodder for a press person. Twitter is blocking the API to be able to do that on a number of companies that are basically spying on candidates as we're getting ready to get into the big political process here. But kind of cool that... Well, it's not cool. It's almost like Twitter's trying to protect the politicians. So, I don't know. It's an interesting move by them. And again, if you try to have your business that revolves around something that Twitter does, and you're talking to their API, be prepared to be cut off at any time. A gentleman had a video that he put up as a public video. In other words, public domain. No one could put a DMCA against it, but someone did. And he went through the process of getting his video turned back on YouTube and so forth. But he's asked YouTube to institute 3 strikes policy for those who abuse takedowns. I think there'd be a bunch of companies that would be locked out immediately. But he went through a battle with WGBH, and I don't know where they're at. If they're... They're at Boston Public Television Station, and they were the ones that issued the takedown and didn't actually own the video. They did it late on a Friday afternoon and wouldn't respond to anything till like Monday. So, and of course, this was much to the ire of the YouTube website owner. He was definitely not happy, but he's filed, he's went to town and tasked YouTube with considering that. And he wrote a pretty convincing letter. And I don't know who this guy is. He must be well known. Carl Malamud. Malamud. But anyway, he's the guy that has instigated this proceedings with YouTube to try to get them to do a three-strike policy for those who abuse takedowns. All right, where am I at on time? I guess I'm doing pretty good. I found two articles that really kind of sums up Windows privacy in you. One that The Verge did that they released yesterday. And it really kind of goes through each segment of the privacy stuff that you have to watch out for in Windows 10. And it asks and gives the, it plays devil advocate. It basically answers the questions that you're looking for in this article. And it's really too deep to go into. But there's five or six key points here that you should be aware of the type of data that's being exchanged with Windows 10 and basically calling home to mama, even when you have the privacy settings turned off. I also have a link in the show notes that basically tell you what the settings actually do. That's an article from Lifehacker that I'll have available for you to review, okay? All right, the Ashley Madison thing continues to kind of go out of control, but exposed Ashley Madison members are targeted by scammers and extortionists. People are threatening to out them to their wives. They've said, we've looked you up on the internet. We know where your Facebook page is. Unless you send us money, we're going to tell your wife that your email address was on the Ashley Madison database. And not only that, some other companies have been sending emails out, scare emails. Trustify has. They've been sending out emails to people on the list saying, hey, you want to be aware of this. Not that they're going to be able to help them any. This data is out there. So watch out for the scam. If you were on that list, don't give them any money, whatever you do. Also, there's some more biomedicine type stuff out. One flu shot. It's being predicted could soon protect against any strain. And we know that current flu vaccines have to be reformulated each year to suit their latest most prominent strain. These new vaccines would remove all guesswork involved in predicting which strain will dominate the flu season. That's because they work by mimicking a stable part of the virus that doesn't change from one season to the next. In other words, one shot. We'll see if that will actually happen or not. But that is the look of the future with animal testing promising, looking to be very, very promising. Two guys, well, they were trying to fly into a prison with a drone, and they had porn, tobacco, weed, what else they have? Prescription drugs, cell phone, handgun, a whole bunch of good stuff that needs to be in a prison. But they weren't too far from the Western Correctional Institution after a week-long investigation by police, who also posted a photo of the hall. It's pretty impressive what the drone was going to be able to carry into the prison. Pretty amazing, really was. The amount of weight. I don't know how they got caught, but they definitely were being scoped out before they did the deed. All right, court says the FTC can slap companies for getting hacked. So the FTC looks like they're going to start divvying out fines to companies that do not act equitable when or don't really pay attention to their customers' data. So this is big. In a decision published Monday, U.S. appellate court ruled that the FTC has authority to sue Wyndham Hotels for allowing hackers to steal more than 600,000 customer data from its computer system in 2008-2009, leading to more than a $10 million in fraudulent charges. The ruling more widely cements the agency's power to regulate and fine firms that lose consumer data to hackers if the companies engage in what the FTC deemed as unfair or deceptive business practices at a time whenever more private data is constantly getting breached. This decision affirms FTC's role as a digital watchdog with actual teeth. So if they feel the company wasn't doing a good job, they can whack them with a big fine. So very, very, very interesting. Security researcher who hacked a moving Jeep has left Twitter. This guy was working at Twitter. The security researcher who hacked that Jeep resigned as an engineer at Twitter after 3 years on the job. And Charlie Miller is going to be going on to something else. I don't know if he got fired or asked to leave or what, but this guy's got some skills. I'm sure he's going to get picked up or start something on his own. All right, that's going to wrap me up for today. I'm going to look at the emails that came in. There was a few. And I got an email from Nir. Nir's in Israel. He says, "Hey, Todd, you're a Navy man. You should know better, and so should the Washington Post. The Hamas untrustworthiness as a true information source is well known. The reporter should have known better. To use old Vietnam War flipper news is so out of date, it's simply pathetic. Believe me, if Israel needs to go into Gaza via a sea route, it will find a way. It will not resort to flipper. Our animal rights groups are also very active. They'd never let it happen. In summary, always doubt your news source, however credible they may appear to be. Thanks for the GNC, Nir." Nir, I think the Navy, the U.S. Navy, I don't have any direct knowledge of this, but I think the U.S. Navy used flipper to do do mining and all kinds of stuff. So why would this be so outside the realm? Who knows? Got an email from Ron. He said, "Hey, Todd, just discovered this site that allows you to get a boarding pass on a Mars mission." Oh. This is cool. So what do? You can send your name. Let me load this up. It's actually a NASA gov site. Did we talk about this before? All right, so frequent flyers, have you flown with us before? If you provided your email address last time, start here. Send my name on Insight. So I guess what we're going to do is you're going to be able to, maybe your name is going to go on some sort of data chip or something that's going to go to Mars. All right, I'm going to definitely check this out. So Journey to Mars, hashtag Journey to Mars. There's been 319,243 people that have had boarding passes submitted. Okay, I'm going to look this. We're going to find out about this, and we're going to test it. I'll let you guys know how it goes. But, Ron, thanks for that. Got an email from Chris. He says, "Hey, Todd. Good to have you back, Todd. Anyway, great thinking by Xerox. Now my dad, who knows little about tech, can try searching for cheaper toner on eBay. I'm sure the cheaper toner will end up being a bootleg of some sort from you know where. Now, Xerox can have zero profits from all the bootleg toner that will likely gain in popularity. Your brief rant about DRM was spot on. When Sony region blocked imported video games on the PlayStation, the only way to play imported game was to modify the system, which in turn allowed users to play imported games in addition to bootleg games. I don't follow video games much anymore, but I think Sony eventually killed the region blocking on the PlayStation 4. Funny thing is, then I've never heard of any of my friends talk about modifying their PS4. In turn, I haven't heard much of bootleg PS4 games. Always great show, as always, Todd. Suits de beta." So this is Chris and Eva. Thanks, Chris. Got an email from Bree. She says, "This is amazing. Near the site of Burning Man, this is one of the most beautiful accidental creations. I'm going to send you guys, is this got a link, Bree? Let me see. I saw this. It was incredible. Have you guys heard about the, what do they call it? Is there a name for this? I'll see if I can find a link for it in the show notes. It is truly, it's basically this amazing oasis that started from a dig in a well that kind of went bad. There's a Vimeo video. I will put the Vimeo video link in the show notes. All right, one more email tonight. I think this is the last one. This comes from my good friend, Andy. Andy's in Shanghai. Andy's a doctor. He takes care of expats there. Many of you maybe remember Andy went to CES with us one year. He says, "Don't read this on the air. However, feel free to convey this message or just the bottom line to everyone." Okay, so I'm going to paraphrase some of the stuff he says. And he was ranting. He says, "The longer I live in China, the more I see problems with the rest of the world and appreciate America. I see so many Americans as so spoiled and do not even realize how good we have it and how many rights we have. Also, they don't realize what great things are available in our country. They don't even take the time to wonder. where was this product made? Or which country represents this product? I think the reason you, meaning me, have had so many products, so many problems with Samsung phone was because it was not a U.S. product. Stick to Apple. Not only is it more user-friendly, the customer service is outstanding. I realize that most products from the United States are better quality and have better customer service than anywhere else in the world. The reason is we are Americans, and our country supports us. Just try to return an iPhone at an Apple store in China. He says, it is impossible. The customer service for Apple in China is horrible and cheap and has the China mindset. The first question they ask is, where did you buy your phone? If you say you bought it in the U.S., they immediately say, nope, can't help you. We can't help you at all. Also, most Chinese people crave products from the United States. And this is true in many countries. They crave them because they are made better, more reliable, last longer. And Andy goes on to say, this is true. He says, in China, they do not get the customer service benefit that we Americans get from our American products. When we buy USA, we get a better product and a better customer service. But, you know, Andy, a lot of this stuff that's were being bought in the USA was made in China. I know where you're coming from. I know the quality build's better. Don't get me wrong. He says, buy America, buy American, and bring the revenue to America. And I agree with that, too. I got a bunch of podcasters using Chinese companies right now. So buy American. We're U.S.-based. He said, do you realize in China, national news is so filtered that there are many, many lies? They're even lying about the explosion in Tianjin. They lie and they say America's ignorant and read our emails. And America's always blaming us. But they say, my internet is supposed to be 150 meg down. I pay for it, but my actual speed is much lower than that. He says, I listen to the news about all the guns in the USA and wonder what a crazy country. How can we be allowed to have guns? And how can we even demand rights from police? It's nice that we have rights and freedoms. In China, just taking a picture of a police officer sleeping is dangerous. I tried it. I'll never do that again. When I first came here, I felt invincible, and I did many crazy things because living in the USA, we are sort of invincible. We have all the rights in the world, and we're protected. So he says, it is safe in the USA, but don't try to do some of the stuff you do in the United States and the rest of the world. Okay, so I'm paraphrasing here. America's a great country, but we are so naive and really live in a fantasy land. Here in China, it's like the Wild West. People lie, they cheat, and they do whatever they can to get ahead. And when we impose our morals on them and say, how can Chinese spy? How can Chinese cheat? Or how can they sell tainted beef? Or how can they experiment on embryos? How can they hit a child, run over them, and drive away? How can they not help people in distress? He says, those are our morals, not theirs. This country has so much fear, and no one thinks, and people just want, they say they just have to follow orders. They don't hold morals. They just want to make money. And stealing is not considered wrong. Actually, nothing is considered wrong if you can get away with it. So, Andy, I read a lot of your stuff. I paraphrased there, but I understand what you're saying. Until you go outside, and again, I've been all over the world. I've seen a lot of beautiful countries. I've been a lot of fantastic places, and every place that I've ever been to has its plus and minuses. And we as Americans are kind of stuck on ourselves a little bit, but I do believe we are, America still is an absolutely the best place in the world to live. Now, I love Japan. I love going to Japan. I love visiting. I don't know if I could live there full time. I probably could. I've been in places in Europe that have been absolutely fantastic. You know, there's lots of great places to live. Don't get me wrong. And I know Andy probably feels the same way. But I will admit, I've been in some places overseas where, you know, you feel like someone's always trying to reach the hand into your pocket and pull out extra money. And it always seems like there's this battle that you're waging to make sure you don't get ripped off. And that's just, you know, kind of the way some of those cultures are. I haven't had any time in China, so I can't really have any type of a baseline. I only go on what Andy says here, but you know, I think there's good and bad in every country. You know, I look at what's going on in Detroit, and I'm like, that's horrible. You know, it's corruption at its best. People cheating, lying, stealing, and letting a whole city just disintegrate. But Annie, come on back to the USA, man. Time to leave. Time to come home. Come back to New Orleans and eat gumbo. And when you're coming back, stop in Hawaii. We'll have some beers. Hang out on the beach. All right, folks. I'm long. Let me get out of here. Thanks for being here. If you've got comments on today's show, again, any email is good. Geeknews@gmail.com. Send your comments. Love, hate, loves, whatever you want. And rants. And I know Andy was on a tear there, and I was trying to paraphrase. If I get something wrong, he was just basically standing up for us. And for those of you that aren't from the United States, yes, you know, don't think bad of us. It's just the way we are. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Everyone take care. I'll see you on Thursday, all right? Geeknews@gmail.com. Thank you all the insiders that are supporting the show. Become an insider by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Until next Thursday, everyone take care. We'll see you. Aloha.